Just a lazy, hideous piece of journalism.
Mm-hmm.
So Danny sent it to me. I was literally like, well, I cannot defend this. Like, if you read it, it's garbage. Hello.
Right, let's not talk. Let's get on. You've got a time limit here.
Right. To Turbo your problems, pod.
And you're already interrupting.
You're calling his kids problems.
That's his problem, yes.
What?
Mm. I mean, I'm not wrong.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Right, Turbo. Turbo Pod, right, price, $44,408. No, that's last episode's price. Current price, $43,916. Mikey, we've got something.
No, that's the current price is oh, because I've changed it since print.
Last that's episode's why. Price wasn't 44,000, was it? That's a lie.
No, that's high since, sorry.
So, got it.
I've just sent out a price notification, so I can tell you. We're up 15%.
Can start again if you want.
No, nope. We haven't got time.
$44,040 current price. Yeah, quite a run at the minute, obviously, but yeah, is what it is. We've got MicroStrategy, buy more Bitcoin. We've got BBC publishing swimming pools. We've got Coinbase and their new advert and their new feature we'll come back to.
Great new feature.
Bitcoin, national strategic importance from the US Space Force, IBM and quantum computing, Bitcoin, gold moving opposite directions, and BlackRock apparently buying Bitcoin throughout the bear market.
Class. Very good.
Let's get into it.
MicroStrategy, go.
Sailor's laughing, isn't he?
I mean, he should be, yes.
Quite an additional 16,000 Bitcoin.
Mm.
Yeah. So, if people don't know, he bought another 16,000 Bitcoin. That's about $600 million at the price when he bought them. An average price of about $36,785 per Bitcoin. Obviously, it's already at 44,000. So, yeah, even the recent purchase, he's up, plus all the previous purchases.
And now, yeah, their entire average is now 30,252 per Bitcoin.
Is he something like, is it 2.5 billion up now or something?
2.3 billion
up.
Yeah, well played that guy.
I saw him, sorry, I don't know if you mentioned it, but El Salvador, they are, they say they're the first time in profit since they've been DCAing.
They were like $1.5 billion, was it $3.5 million or something?
What, are they DCAing a Bitcoin a day or something?
Yeah. Bitcoin. Well, they said they were, weren't they? Mm. I mean, they're still doing it, but it's the first time they're in profit.
DCA has been, yeah, a strategy, I guess, for MicroStrategy as well as, yeah.
Everybody else. The normal people.
So I think one of the things on that I've been asked a couple of times actually recently about, is it a risk with Michael Saylor holding so much Bitcoin or MicroStrategy holding so much Bitcoin under the helm of Michael Saylor?
Well, a risk to what? A risk to...
I don't think people know that when they're asking that question.
Right.
And they just think, oh, he owns, like, it's about 1% of all Bitcoin, not even in circulation Bitcoin, and that's 1%.
So it's like a price risk if he sells it all, because it'll be flood the market. But that's not a risk, really.
I think there's an uneducated comment maybe around, when people ask, do you not think that's a risk? No. And I say, well, why do you think it's a risk?
Can't just market sell Bitcoin. No. Is it less of a risk because there are public companies?
Well, no, people, I'm saying from a risk.
Is it because one person's got so much?
People don't understand that. Mm. That's, if they think, oh, he owns loads of Bitcoin, he's probably going to be able to control Bitcoin.
Yeah,
and it's like not talking about necessarily the price. Could be the network. It could be like the influence. It's like, what's the actual risk? And I honestly, personally don't see a risk.
No.
He has no control of the network over the guy that owns 20 banks.
Network risk also.
He has maybe an influence, but that's because he's a very well-known guy now, rather than him owning Bitcoin. He's known for holding Bitcoin, so he's known for that reason, but it doesn't give him any more influence over the network and the industry.
I mean, a MicroStrategy investment is just a Bitcoin play now, isn't it? It's literally, their share price just correlates to the Bitcoin price. So... it's gone up quite a lot recently as the Bitcoin price has increased.
Did we say this on the last pod about if Bitcoin price, say, 10x's, he would hold?
I think we were just looking at that, weren't we, in terms of how big their balance sheet of MicroStrategy could actually become, and where's it place them in global scales of the biggest companies, and
racket them up pretty quick.
Yeah, well, it was. Yeah.
If Bitcoin 10x is from, even from the value we're talking about, I think, then MicroStrategy would, and if they held their Bitcoin throughout that time, they would hold more on their balance sheet in value than Apple.
Do you know? He would still get criticism even if that happened. There's still haters out there that think it's a risky strategy for MicroStrategy to be endeavouring it, even if he took them into like top five most valuable companies in the world.
I think there's only
still be frowned upon.
Microsoft have like say $150 billion, I think, on their balance sheet, so it's a little bit more. Aramco like 200 something, I think. But Apple only have like 50, I think, at the minute or something.
Only.
Only.
How are they? It used to be like the big one, didn't
they? God, they'll be cutting, cafeteria.
I think they've dropped quite a bit.
Charging more.
They still make a lot of money, don't get me wrong, but they're spending obviously in different ways. I just see it as, and why is he doing that? Maybe it's a question to him.
Do you know, also, I like the fact that he's been pretty consistent. Like, it's very easy to, like, show off now in terms of whilst the price is going up and it's above your average in. Mm. But he's always done this. He's always said, look, this is my average, this is how much we hold. It's the same tweets every time he's buying, the same mechanism of them, the same structure. Mm-hmm. He's not like, they're not like showing off. It's just like, right, we're buying. This is consistency, which I like.
And he's obviously personally buying as well. He's quite public when he does that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's playing the infinite game. Leaving Jesus his legacy behind in MicroStrategy.
If I hear you, honestly, the infinite game, you and that theory.
His theory behind it is that Bitcoin value continues to increase. If it continues to increase, then MicroStrategy would have a never-ending supply.
Yeah, he did say he'd never sell, didn't he?
Of cost, of currency or money, whatever you want to call it, that he can convert to dollars and make use of for forever. So the company can last forever and can pivot that company into different directions. Like you've seen... What was the example you said? That was it Nintendo?
Used to be game cards.
Used to
be playing cards.
No, Nintendo used to be, it was even worse. It
in terms of a pivot.
More odd than that, as a pivot.
I think Nintendo was playing cards.
Was it playing cards? I thought it was
even thought that was the case.
More odd than that.
When, they've slightly not pivoted, but they've started to release like Lightning stuff, haven't they? Lightning products.
Someone was telling me that they'll have to sell eventually. I was like, no, they don't. It's not how it works.
Like you can make enough
borrow against it
to run against. Yeah, you can borrow against then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, playing cards. Since there you go. Two, and then eventually, obviously, pivoted to what.
There are better examples of a more extreme pivot.
Probably
to a market.
Is it Kodak as well? Is it Kodak? If you check Kodak,
Kodak is a very old
company. Actually, I think they were pre cameras.
Oh, they were. Yeah. They were.
But I don't know what they were doing. Yeah,
pharmaceuticals
now. I think.
I think, like companies just have to grow, don't they?
Historically, they were like, what were they before cameras?
I'm sure I've listened to a podcast on
given time, if we'd known this pop-up, I could have brought some brilliant examples of mega pivots.
You just don't know where the conversation's going to go, though.
They were a chemical company, it says.
So, the chemicals, they're trying to pivot back to that, I guess, are they now?
In a way, with pharmaceuticals,
But the point is, MicroStrategy, in theory, what Sailor's setting up there is like what I'm saying, the infinite game. It's a never-ending company that can go on and do effectively whatever it wants to do.
Supported by an extremely strong balance sheet.
Exactly. And it can pivot to try different things and do different things and eventually see what works for the market. And I mean, they don't even have to do it for a monetary revenue sort of chasing pivot. They can do it to a pivot of what they believe is good for the world or whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting position that he could put himself, or not himself, but MicroStrategy in decades to come.
Is there a percentage of holding where you do think there's a risk at all to the network?
If one guy has like so much Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Or one company. Only if it's proof of stake.
Yeah.
Which is not. Yeah. Other than that, the only risk is price.
Yeah.
Well, that would, if they dump X amount, we've seen dumps in the past of billions of dollars of Bitcoin and, the price moves and it's volatile.
So obviously if people are worried, maybe incorrectly, about MicroStrategy right now with all these ETFs coming in, buying similar amounts, I assume.
It'd be interesting. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe not as much, but
how much they'll...
Could end up with a few companies with a chunk.
But it doesn't achieve anything.
That's what I'm saying.
It will achieve a financial incentive for them companies to drive the network in the direction they want to do.
Exactly.
They might try and force the network in a direction like we've seen in the past with the block wars.
But we've seen that and it doesn't work.
It didn't in the past, and this will be the next challenge.
It'll be a test for the kind of
Will the
network?
Will the corporations be able to push and influence Bitcoin's network in a way that is not necessarily good for the network, good for them as a corporation? They've not managed to do that in the past, and we've been through that. The next step after that would probably be, in my head, governments, and would governments be able to then force it in a direction that's good for the government but not for the network? That'll be the two big ones for me that I think we'll have to cross.
Yeah.
Interesting topics. BBC publishing an article that is, every Bitcoin payment uses a swimming pool of water.
The problem I have, I believe it might have been last week that I was a big advocate for the BBC.
It's quite ironic.
And I was like, the quality of reporting, they're perfectly neutral, they research their information, it's about inform, educate, entertain. And then moments later, they kind of proved me wrong by publishing what is
getting ahead of it by admitting it.
Just a lazy, hideous piece of journalism. Mm-hmm. So Danny sent it to me. I was literally like, well, I cannot defend this. Like, if you read it, it's garbage.
Some of the writing
research
is
like, all right,
Bitcoin is so power hungry.
It's essentially saying that to generate electricity, you have to use water as a coolant in power stations, right? And thus, if anything uses electricity, you can try and work out how much water they use. And it's just great.
And it's grasping at straws a little bit. I think we've gone from Bitcoin uses dirty energy to, okay, now that's been debunked. It's kind of, okay, Bitcoin uses too much water. It's grasping at straws.
That article actually books the trend of 2023, because most of the articles are now coming out and more favorably in terms of Bitcoin using renewable and Bitcoin being actually an incentive for renewable energy. I signed up to that Daniel Batten.
Yep.
His newsletter yesterday is actually really interesting in terms of how much that's improved in terms of the renewable side and what that means per transaction, and how that is at the incentive that we always talk about and what that actually affects is. So I might throw a good chart in there in terms of, it looks at how banking transaction efficiency against Bitcoin transaction efficiency in terms of the energy they use, and it's very interesting.
Yeah.
So that, to have that article is just
embarrassing.
Yeah.
Well,
who's the author? Chris Vallance.
Technology Report.
Which is great.
I've not heard of him before.
It's just it's really so one-sided in terms of how it's reported.
It was Alex DeVries, I think, he did. It was his research they used.
They keep quoting him. I'm just wondering who he is and why has he got such an agenda. Yep. I think this is the fellow who's already worked at Deutsche Bank or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
From a while back.
Yeah.
He's a specialist.
There you go. He worked at the Dutch Central Bank.
Yeah, brilliant. There you go.
So obviously he's got a bit of a gender against
Bitcoin. It's just as bad, isn't it?
Yeah. But I think as well, even forgetting all the renewable energy stuff and how big, and the actual mechanisms of what you're talking about there with the actual energy usage, they're forgetting that Bitcoin transactions, you're ignoring Lightning, you're ignoring other scalability solutions that are starting to come in. Treating it like one, they're treating it incorrect still all these years later that we've already debunked over and over again.
The article's even referencing the Cambridge work.
Yeah,
but they've, from 2018 or something, really old data, but Cambridge they've subsequently come out and said, actually, this year they've released an article saying, actually, we've overestimated, we've got this wrong. So they're already saying that data that they've used for this is...
The Cambridge data is great as well, really. It is good data because it's useful information to know. But then we know that it's renewable. They all are ignoring Lightning. We've done the Lightning research, haven't we, ourselves, and said, okay, you can do, in theory, infinite Lightning transactions off the back of one Bitcoin transaction because it's just the channel that needs to be created and go back and forwards. So you can theoretically do that. But they ignore that.
It's just always this bias against it. You don't hear the good articles. It's not a rounded opinion.
It's because the idiots writing these articles don't actually know. They don't know what Lightning is. They don't understand how Bitcoin works.
It's clickbait. It's very easy.
They're just advocating for proof of stake as well.
But it's worked. It's got everyone talking.
They're funded by a proof of stake.
I think my mum sent me the article. That's the reach that BBC have. And it's just that's really annoying.
She must have heard what you said last week.
They use so much energy. They use a swimming pool with energy every transaction.
My mum and dad didn't send me that because they don't read the BBC.
Idiots.
Let's not get into who's parents are better. Okay, there's only one winner there. But yeah, extremely frustrating article. People that we should. I'm a big advocate of getting rounded opinions on both sides, and that's signing up to this Daniel Batten's newsletter. Is very interesting read. It's a new one, but I'd recommend everyone having a little.
His content's good.
Yeah, it's very good. So yeah, frustrating article. Made me look like an idiot.
You ready for the next frustration? That's also going to make you look like an idiot.
This is, I mean, I do enough, a good enough job on myself to make myself look like an idiot, right?
Now this article can help back it up.
That's just proof.
Coinbase releasing their new advert. And class. I've had a beam of bonnet about this.
You have? I don't know why. It's brilliant advert.
I'm fuming at it.
Yeah, what's your problem?
There's been a couple of them. So they've got two that I've seen, which is one that's based around, for people that have not seen it, it's kind of a, it's a good process. It's like showing people growing up and going to school, going to like university, ending up with, that's what I'll come to in a second. That's the bit that's
spoiler. Right.
They're going to school, going to university, they're getting into lots of debt. And then they can't do things that, you know, 30 years ago might have been possible, buying the house and so on. There's then the mortgage one where it shows like people in the 1950s buying a house, then the 1970s, and then eventually to today getting rejected to try and buy a house because they can't afford it. And then it just says it's time to update the system, I think is the term. And then it just says the Coinbase logo at the end, whatever.
Update the system, buy some shit coins. What's your problem?
Exactly. So the thing, this
problem.
There's two things that are my big problem. One thing is they're saying update the system. If somebody doesn't know what Coinbase is, like they, for one, wouldn't know what's the
system.
No,
it's your opinion what Coinbase is. This is an advert to inscribing what Coinbase want to be. Like,
what do they want to be?
They want to be, you know, the almost like the anti-hero. They're putting a mirror up to the face of reality and saying it doesn't have to be like this.
Dave's just talking philosophical bullshit now just to try and get around the fact that they don't have a point.
I thought it was a good advert.
But why?
Because
for what? What
the system, the system is something that's extremely personal. What everyone's got their individual fight.
What is the system?
The system is... Historically, it's like institutions that's ingrained in people's upbringings. It's the system, right? Schooling, education, medical, anything like that. Mortgage, banking. That's the system.
We've already had this argument.
That's the system. So, but that's different for everyone. And everyone has their own different problem. So it might be finances, educational. It might be let down at every different part of it.
That's my point.
Coinbase is saying, it doesn't have to be like that. You could buy Pepe.
You could buy Pepe and be worse off.
Yeah.
But the point with that, exactly what you said there, the system is lots of different things to different people. They're talking about it in the sense of the system from the financial system, aren't they? And that's where they're trying to go at. They don't say that and they don't explain that. Our industry is in a bubble.
It's an advert. You can't mean it.
Our industry is in a bubble. We know what they mean in that respect. People outside of our bubble don't know who Coinbase are, don't know what the hell that means.
Yeah, but
it could be a political campaign.
It's
a motive.
It did look quite political.
It looks political.
It's completely a motive.
It's trying to create the intrigue so that you go off and...
To what is Coinbase?
Then go to Coinbase.
So it's pointing out
it doesn't matter what Coinbase is at this point.
Pointing
with that
out that these people are struggling to get a mortgage because of the system, whatever the system is. Go to Coinbase and you can get a mortgage. No, you can't. You can buy Pepe, though. You can buy some random... I don't know if you can buy Pepe at Coinbase. Mm. I don't know. But you can buy some random shit coins and gamble away... It's not helping them buy a house, is it? So the message is disjointed to me. And
there's a disconnect between the company Coinbase and then the message of the advert.
It doesn't make
100%
sense.
But that doesn't make it a bad advert. It's still the intrigue that it creates.
The thing is done is good in our industry. It's got people talking like we're talking about now. So it's done its job in getting people talking.
Yeah.
But this is always my problem with our industry. Of we target adverts and things to people within our industry, not outside of our industry. And we need to be targeting outside of our industry to people that don't really understand what's going on. You try to educate them and help them on things.
Yeah.
And trying to educate them people, showing them something like this, it's relatable to a lot of people. Mm. It is, but it doesn't explain anything. It kind of says...
And a perfect advert.
Which means that...
Relatable to everyone.
From Coinbase's perspective, that's great because then they can come to Coinbase, but Coinbase don't educate on the system.
It also doesn't explain it. If I Google Coinbase, I have like a landing page telling me.
And Coinbase actually have all these shit coins on
them. Yeah, so Coinbase aren't the Bitcoin advocates we would want them to be.
Forget Bitcoins in general, but the update the system is not a thing they're doing. They are just... adding lots of coins for speculation on price. We've seen that, which is one of the ones I ranted about a while back with Brian now tweeting about using crypto for payments because he knows the speculation on all these shit coins is eventually going to slowly squeeze and die down. And the long term goal is to make crypto payments, I think.
Would you have been happier as that it featured a casino in there and they would update the system and a new type of casino?
It would have more synergies with Coinbase than the financial system.
I would agree with that.
It may be good, but it's like the wrong company did it, kind of thing.
I mean, even if they just hadn't finished with the Coinbase logo and they could have just finished with the Bitcoin logo.
Yeah.
That would have
made more of an impact.
The guy never tweets about Bitcoin. No. He still uses crypto.
Yeah. And why? Because he needs people to believe that the shitcoins there have some value and have something behind it.
Why? Fundamentally,
and because it's his business model. Yeah, because it's his business model. So I'm saying they've done this from their business perspective to pull people in to trade shitcoins.
That's the only reason anyone advertises, though, isn't it?
But our industry are jumping on it saying this is an amazing advert because it's update the system. And they've got the system thing in their head because they understand the bigger picture of what that means. But outside our industry don't understand what that means. And it will be pulling in more unsuspecting.
I do understand why you dislike the advert.
It frustrates me, yeah.
I also understand why a lot of people like it.
But I want education to be done correctly, as in actually teaching people stuff. That is just leaving people... It's enticing people into Coinbase to go and buy lots of random coins. Not enticing.
It's like you're intriguing people to think about it, but then you're not finishing it off with the education because you go to Coinbase and there's no education on it.
Their education is, here's this shit coin. It does X, Y, and Z, but we just say that because there's no other thing it does. And it is frustrating that educate people properly. Don't trick them into coming into something.
Did well on Twitter though, didn't it?
It did. That's what I'm saying. It's got us talking.
It's got us engagement.
So it has worked in that sense. And honestly, you know, it has a slight thing of the old Apple advert and stuff like that. And that was seen more as a political one, wasn't it? And more of a revolution one.
The 1984 rip.
But that
also didn't feature a product, which this one doesn't either.
It was making
for a great advert. Yeah. You don't even have to feature the
product. It was Apple's The Revolution.
Yeah.
And that's what they've tried to copy, I think. They've tried to clone that in a respect.
And it does give that sort of vibe.
It does, yeah. That's what they've tried to, I think, do. Was it Super Bowl ad that back in the day? The Apple one?
I presume so. I think it was a huge budget one, wasn't it?
But I think did it not go down?
In the film, they did not get into trouble because they realised it, actually, because they had to hire loads of skinheads and they turned out all to be, like, neo-Nazis.
Oh, don't know.
It's like, oops.
So I have a vague memory of the time it didn't particularly do well, and then it kind of come to life afterwards. Was it?
Just smashing a screen. Anyway. Right, I've only got a few minutes.
You're kidding me. Dave's got to go. We've not even gone to
the this is where it all kicks off.
I know. We then got on Coinbase's new product.
I'm very excited about that.
I was going to talk about the standard Coinbase. Well, I was in the process. Like, I saw this morning.
The process of slagging off.
We're in the process of slagging Coinbase off. So I saw this morning. Stand with Crypto has now launched in the UK, and it's basically Brian Armstrong retweeted it. Standwithcrypto.org. But then, as I was reading through the comments, apparently, if you join, you receive an NFT member. You receive your membership NFT soon.
Sign me up, my mate. I'm honest. Not an NFT, no ordinal. But
is it
crypto? It's time to prove it.
Yeah.
Join the fight.
An amazing evening in Manchester.
The rhetoric is just.
But that's funded. I mean, it tells you that $2.4 million they've had donated to them and raised, and they're pushing crypto
by crypto.
It's now launched in the UK as well. Like, they're pushing it in the UK.
It's feeling like, you know, like the big industry, like the pharmaceutical industry, the food industry, where you end up with like the big players pushing their agenda via different routes. And this is like Brian Armstrong has donated $1 million, surprisingly.
What are we donating for? What are they doing?
So he's pushing to help
stand with crypto
fight regulations in the UK.
Oh, so they're employing lobbyists.
So they're lobbying now to make sure crypto has more favourable things. Not Bitcoin, crypto.
We've already got the UK Bitcoin policy, haven't we?
We've got a few. We've already got a crypto one as well. That's been around for a few years. But again, this is...
don't need this bullshit.
Now funded, well, by guess who? Brian, who has a shitcoin casino that wants to go and push this onto people. Mm. And that's what the regs have been trying to clamp down on all around the world.
The problem is Bitcoin gets dragged along with these.
Yeah.
They'll use Bitcoin as their forefront argument, but try and get the rest of it when in reality, we want nothing to do with all this garbage and then just Bitcoin on its own.
It's caught in the crossfire.
Yeah, stop using Bitcoin's name in vain. Yeah.
And they're doing it for their own business purpose. So that's the frustrating part. Them adverts, so they all tie into this. This whole push at the minute is all this. And it's not for the good of the industry. You've got a
little pin in your bonnet about it, haven't you?
Oh, it's frustrating. It's because this is like your big corps where eventually like the big food ones I'm saying about there and all that, they lobby in different ways and different agendas and they fund different charitable donations.
This pod could just be called Why We Hate Coinbase, guys.
Well, the new feature is definitely another one.
New feature's class.
The new feature, we did that years ago.
New feature.
They did it years ago.
They pulled it. We did it.
Can you explain what it is?
So their new feature, they've started telling everyone that you can send crypto now via WhatsApp and TikTok and Facebook.
That sounds mint.
I mean, it is. It's amazing. I'm all in.
Just sign me up.
What they don't tell you is it's just copy and paste a link from your Coinbase account to WhatsApp, your friend on WhatsApp, send them that link. They click that link. They have to go and download the Coinbase app, get a Coinbase account, and then the crypto, whatever it is, will be sent from Coinbase customer to Coinbase customer.
Hmm. So it won't even be on chain. I assume they just do it internally.
I don't know. They do have a non-custodial Coinbase wallet, I think. I don't know if that would work with it or not, but it's Coinbase customer to Coinbase customer. It's not sending crypto through any of Snapchat, TikTok, Facebook. It's not doing that. Like, that is just a blatant lie that they are saying. And a lot of the industry... It's something that Coinbase did back in 2014 times. We did it back in that time. And we had it via email, or you could share the link. You could click it. It was called Pay Me. You could click it and then you would basically be an internal Coin Corner to Coin Corner customer transfer.
Quickly relaunch that.
We could relaunch that, don't jump me wrong.
And then we can send via WhatsApp.
But nobody really used it. And nobody used it on Coinbase, so they pulled it. So then now they've just brought it back, rebranded it, called it something different. But they're now making the claim that you can send it via
WhatsApp. Marketing timing might be better. But attention is drawing to Bitcoin, so...
Yeah, I'm not dismissing their marketing efforts, because most of the people on the comments on Twitter and that are like, oh, this is amazing. It's a great innovation. It's come off it, guys. This is a copy and paste of a link to sign up at Coinbase.
Yeah, but most people haven't been around as long as you.
No, that's why I'm ranting to help tell people about that. Snip this and we'll put this on Twitter. I'm
like, and not just that, most people will just read the headline and assume it's fact.
And when I heard it, I was like, that's class.
He's a headline.
That's class.
Yeah, so
it does take some diving into that one.
So this whole section of the minute has been my sweeping up, which
I might have to go now just because I've mentioned that. Right, apologies. I do have to shoot. I have a sick child.
Oh, they had so many more arguments to have with you then.
Sorry, bud.
Some of these topics.
Next week.
You're missing the US Space Force.
Back to the original crew.
Space Force is my favourite force.
Wow.
What a theatre.
Part-time
down to three. I mean, Mikey, do you want to come and say Dave? Yeah, come on. Take over, Dave.
Watch the views skyrocket now. Mikey on the thumbnail.
For some reason, halfway through the pod, the views are just coming. So yeah, Coinbase done and dusted there, but is what it is. It's
that's
frustrating.
That's a wrong section on Coinbase.
It's frustrating for us.
Too much airtime.
Because we're fighting and battling against this all the time, and then the regs they're pushing, we're actually pushing in the opposite direction in a lot of it, because they want crypto and NFTs and DeFi, and it's like none of that is real. It's not, there's no substance, nothing real still behind any of it, except they make money on all the trades of people buying JPEGs. Let's move on, because I'll rant again.
You're now sat here with like me, Zach, and Mikey, who will just not, we don't buy them.
Argue like Dave, but it's telling you right, Mike.
You'll see well.
US Air Force,
I haven't seen this. Tell me about it.
I was hoping you'd seen this.
No. Molly, tell us about it.
I have not seen this either.
Mike is going to try
I've seen the TV show.
So it's Jason.
I don't know what that is.
Jason Lowry.
Oh, he's back.
So he's done I think it's him, but correct me if I'm wrong with this, Mikey.
It is him, yeah. It's him. I'm trying to find the link. I'm much further away from that screen.
Can't see from the distance. So he's done a letter basically to the US Space Force saying the importance of Bitcoin as a national strategy and why we should be... Dave, he's not only left halfway through, he's left the door open.
While there's drilling and banging, I was like, you're struggling to find this link.
I can't find a link.
I'll try to help you out.
We just cut this 5 minutes of the pod. Skip it.
So, right, this is behind the scenes that nobody sees.
So did he release this letter on Twitter? Because he's been gone from Twitter for a while, hasn't he?
He's been on LinkedIn, I think.
He's been on LinkedIn, yeah.
I'm not sure where he released it. Hopefully, if Mikey can ever get this link.
Where is it?
It's on the page one. The fourth. Right. Okay. Oh, there you go.
Sweet.
Yeah. It'll be there somewhere.
Top. Like, yeah. Oh, there you go.
Hey.
Jason Lowry.
Space Force Major Jason Lowry.
To prioritise the investigation of proof-of-work systems like Bitcoin for the country's defence.
Well, that's dramatic, isn't it?
But that's actually genius, though. Sorry, let you read more of that if you want. Four-page letter. It must be public.
Four-page?
It's out there. So if it's because he's pushing on the proof of work, obviously that's great. And the proof of work from a cybersecurity perspective means that you would, to break that effectively similar to Bitcoin, you're going to need that electricity usage, that mining power, that hash rate. So securing all forms of data, of all sorts of data that governments may want to keep secure. Mm-hmm. I can understand his agenda and angle here.
Yeah, because there's no question that Bitcoin as a network is probably one of the most secure networks in the world, if not the most secure.
Yep.
Based on proof of work, so yeah.
So yeah, why wouldn't you use that to secure the data? But the hard part is you're not going to store data on the Bitcoin blockchain because it's going to become expensive, megabyte blocks and so on. But you need it to be proof of work at a scale where it's unattackable.
Exactly. Scale is important, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, theoretically it's attackable, but in practice it's unattackable. So yeah, definitely it needs to almost be on Bitcoin some capacity in some way. Mm-hmm. So I guess like that's where your side chains and things like that will start to come in and you utilize the security of Bitcoin, but peg it somewhere and store that data elsewhere. Sorry, you still reading that?
Yeah, sorry.
And it's good that he's still pushing Bitcoin after the whole book debacle that he had, where he was forced to stop selling it and pull it from all stores.
I think he must have found the proof of work as the way to help explain it to you.
How
he can have a positive here. Data storage side of that.
So are they thinking it, like, say it's not on Bitcoin, they have their own network, then they would use the grid for the hash rate, they would just plug into the grid for the secure
US grid.
Yeah,
I haven't read this four pages, so
I don't understand.
Which, the scenario like that would be interesting, wouldn't it? You have a network that's backed by the grid, essentially.
That another country would need to overpower. Which the US is pretty much they do use the most energy, or is it China now?
I assume they're up there, yeah.
And we got Brian jumping in there as well, just to echo that thought.
Don't set him off again.
He probably released a 6-page letter on the back of the month.
look what he's coming to it. Yeah. Argued that Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies could play a pivotal role in helping the United States maintain its dominance with the US dollar, according to, but that's probably nothing to do with what Jason's talking about, and it's also not crypto again.
Yeah, it's just Brian just talks about Bitcoin as and when he fancies. Like, it'll all be all crypto, and then like one tweet he'll put out will be purely Bitcoin.
I mean, Bitcoin and crypto.
He knows it's Bitcoin.
Yeah,
he knows.
But he's just got
for his business and because he's a public company.
Draw up the interest in the altcoins.
Yeah, he has to keep that because that's where their revenue comes from.
He's playing the game, isn't he, for his business sake?
But frustrating.
Do you think he goes to bed at night hating himself? I know it's quite a deep thought. Do you know what I mean? Like, if that's not really,
I'll try it later. I'll give him a felt.
He might think the opposite. He might think he's Trojan horsing it so much that
so cleverly.
Yeah,
maybe.
But you would, for me, at the minute, like him, he's just $4 million into that crypto. $4 million into the Bitcoin policy, guys. Then that $1 million because they're trying to push Bitcoin, not crypto. But it doesn't fit with his company and his direction, I guess.
Is it his direction or is it his shareholders' direction?
It's a personal donation, it looks like, from Ryan there. So
it was barmstrong.eth.
Yeah. So whether it is genuinely personal or whether it's his business done it, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not standing up for him, just, you know.
Get out.
I'm going to read that four-page letter, though, if it's public. Jason.
Yeah,
that'll be interesting.
I'm trying to read that properly. IBM, this can be a quick passing one. IBM says it will have hit quantum computing inflection point by 2029.
What does that mean for someone who's not techie?
So the only reason I've flagged this one was because obviously last couple of years, and even going back to like 2014, 15, 16 times, people were talking about quantum computing breaking Bitcoin, and it's on the edge of, you know, we're nearly there. We're at an inflection point of quantum computing. And there's been, I think there was one, was it a couple of years ago? That's saying, like, you know, Google's got a quantum computer that can break Bitcoin. There was a story in
Bloomberg
or something stupid. And actually, when you actually look into quantum computing, there's, I've said about it before, there's a really good podcast. There's a couple of them that I'd listened to during that time. And I think one of them was a Peter McCormick one with the guy from the UK who owns a quantum computing company that builds them and sells them. And he explains about how many qubits you would need to break cryptography and certain things. And they were selling, were they selling 10 qubit computers? And he's saying you need millions of qubit computers to really break stuff and be powerful enough to do things. And they're not there yet. So it's years and years away, but everyone always thinks, oh, it's coming next year, it's coming next year. Now IBM are saying they're at an inflection point, which...
Yeah, scroll up,
Mike. Mean anything.
Yeah, they gave the qubits...
a 1,000 qubit quantum computer. So I'm saying, yeah, that guy was selling in the UK 10 qubits a couple of years ago.
Said like
100 million gigs.
200 qubits in 2029 before 10x improvement by 2033. How do they know that? They just don't know.
But that's, yeah,
sure, it's just, had to make models for that.
Yeah.
That's only 200 qubits.
Mm.
And then a 10x, so you're talking 2,000 qubits by 2033. This guy is saying you need millions of qubits to actually make it like breakable in terms of...
But even then, we've always talked as well, as the years go on, there'll be quantum-resistant technologies as well. It's not just one side of it. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Theoretical quantum computing,
yeah.
Quantum-resistant algorithms that are... cryptography, sorry. That's being put
in. And if the encryption algorithms get compromised due to quantum, it's more than Bitcoin that has a problem. It's the whole internet, really. Yeah. It's like doomsday.
But it's another one of them attacks on Bitcoin that people say, oh, once quantum computers here, it'll destroy Bitcoin.
Feels just a bit like Y2K, doesn't it?
Yes.
What's like that? If you can get into Bitcoin, are you going to be able to get into banks and stuff like that?
Yeah. But they've been saying this for like the last 10 years. And then actually now IBM are talking about in another 10 years, there'll be an inflection point where they might have 200 qubit computers, which are, or 2,000, sorry, qubit computers.
Just still 998,000 off what we need.
We need to bring modern day cryptography, which is 10 years away, which modern day cryptography will keep improving. So it's just another one to flag maybe for along the way in case there's more during this next couple of years.
I'm sure the FUD will come back out. Yeah. And it's, yeah.
And there'll be a quantum computing one, I'm sure, at some point. Dave's gone for this one. Bitcoin and gold moved sharply in opposite direction.
Tell us all about that.
I wanted to know what that meant.
Well, I don't really have an answer for that because Dave was going to fill us in on that one.
Dave. Okay, we'll just leave that one.
Gold went to its all-time high and then it dropped significantly, didn't it?
Yeah, massively significantly as well, which was interesting.
I just assumed that was like...
That's a crazy sentence.
Are you 85%?
Yeah, when you look at it like that. Yeah.
Wow. Because the gold market is so
big.
It's like, is it 8 trillion, something like that? Gold market,
yeah, let's say, yeah,
somewhere like an $8 trillion market. As it might be more.
So I thought it kind of hit the all time high based off like the speculation the rates are going to come down, and then I put the drop down to the markets opening, but I don't know how the gold markets work. They're not 24/7, are they?
I think some of the gold markets are.
Yeah.
So like because it can be traded all around.
Yeah.
Places.
So I don't know if the drop was something to do with like a certain market opening or not, or just, I don't know. Everyone's talking about the drop, but no one's giving reasons why.
I think nobody knows the answer. $13 trillion market cap here.
Yeah.
For gold. So yeah, the drop in what it was 85% of Bitcoin's market cap total, which is quite...
Which is crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't have
it. The crazy part of that stat is more like, it highlights the room for growth for Bitcoin more than anything. Not that it's bad that it wiped nearly the entire market cap out. Got this amount of room to grow.
It was a very bullish tweet I saw from someone the other day doing their stats, their little numbers they'd ran on Bitcoin being is it 5% of global wealth? And it meant that every Bitcoin was worth like $9 million or something. And he was saying, this is going to happen in 2 years. And I was like,
everyone calls me like, what's this guy been talking about?
Appreciate the ambition.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, a hell of a lot of ambitious. It got a lot of attention, the tweets we've had.
I didn't see that.
But everyone was a bit like, having
5%.
Yeah.
I wonder what gold is as a percentage of the world's wealth.
$13 trillion, is it? So, yeah, I don't know. Quite a big percentage, I imagine.
Pretty good.
Number there, $360 trillion in 2020. Wealth globally. So, we're talking
13.5 trillion.
So, it'd be like 5%. Roughly,
yeah.
Just under 5%.
Guy thinks Bitcoin's going to grow
to 5% of global wealth. Similar to, I guess, gold's
going to grow to gold's kind of market cap in 2 years. I mean, I love the ambition.
Yeah. That was the bit that I had the kicker that kind of got everyone like, okay, this is ambitious. And yeah. This is
going to be a wild ride.
God, he must be excited, that guy.
I am.
Cool. Moving on, BlackRock. This was a tweet.
It's almost like an obvious thing, isn't it? I didn't read it, but
I found
a separate tweet to the one that you put in, which had a bit more information. It had all this. I didn't actually
have
a look through it.
It's just small, isn't it?
So does it say in the tweet,
the private trust was launched in 2022?
With Coinbase as custodian.
So, yeah, so basically, sorry for people listening that are not seeing what they're seeing on the screen. They're saying BlackRock had set up a BlackRock trust, basically, and that private trust, and the private trust has been buying Bitcoin since 2022, which has been obviously over a year now, and they've been buying Bitcoin because they must have been in anticipation for ETF. That they must have known a while back. And to be fair, they did put the ETF in July, was it? Was it July? So it's already been 6 months or whatever. Mm.
It kind of seems obvious that they've been buying, surely. Yeah.
They'd have been prepping that ETF.
That's what you would do.
A good 6 months or a year before that. So it would be 2022.
Mm.
But then for them to be buying in the trust, I don't know, is it allowed?
Does it say how much they're buying or not?
Don't know.
No.
Could then their ETF buy from that trust at the current market rate, and then they would actually make a profit on that if they've been buying it last year, for example?
They would have been buying it potentially. I don't know how it works,
but something like that could happen,
because it does say Coinbase is the custodian for that trust as well, doesn't it? Which would mean it would stay under the same custodian,
and
it would
also, so they're just selling the Bitcoin to the ETF that they've already bought, which when the price was way down,
wouldn't be buying net market Bitcoin.
They've already got it,
sales effectively. Maybe.
Interesting. I don't know if that's allowed or...
I don't know.
I mean, BlackRock can do what they want, can't they?
Seems that
pretty much.
That was actually the last one, I think.
I assume all the people applying for ETFs are doing this as well, not just BlackRock.
Mm.
It would be my assumption, but... They probably don't want people to know about it, I don't know.
Yeah, there was another ETF submitted by a Swiss company for the US ETF again this week as well, so it's 13, I think, now.
13.
I can't remember the name of the company. But yeah, 13 ETFs. Theoretical approval between the 8th and 10th of January, was it, or something? That they could all be approved within that time period at the same time.
It's not that long, is it?
If that gets handed over.
That was it.
Yeah. But if they get rejected and pushed back, I can't remember if it ends up being like a March deadline, is it, by that point, I think?
There's like a final deadline in March, I think, well, they can't just keep delaying it.
How that'll end up playing out, but yeah, it should be some March time.
Yeah, I forgot what I'd seen. There was someone saying that there was optimism about January 5th and 10th for some reason. That's
the gap where all of them can be approved at the same time, so it would be then the fairest way for the SEC to approve them all at the same time,
so
rather than
give
one.
Didn't do it in that window, it'd have to be like one at a time,
Then have to be maybe the next window, which might end up being like March time or something.
Right.
So it would be the sensible approach from the SEC to do them all at the same time, whether that's January or March or whenever. It would be sensible for them to do that, so no one gets a favourable head start and
buffets. History's shown they just like to delay it until the very last moment.
Until they run out of excuses.
Yeah.
Cool. I think that's everything then. There's a few other bits on there, isn't there? But nothing
And nothing. We didn't win any awards in this between last episode and this episode.
Quiet week for us.
It's the quiet one.
Quality slip.
Maybe next week.
I think next week, or maybe the week after, we need to do our award show. The Brit Corner's Awards we do every year.
Oh, yeah.
For the third year running.
Have we actually done the third year? I thought it was just a one-year thing last year.
We did it once did before.
second year running.
But yeah, like best book, best Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have to be next week then.
We'll get that prepped.
Yeah, we'll do that next week.
Yeah.
Do you mind prepping that, Mikey?
Yeah, probably. That was fun. I enjoyed that one. It's good.
Well, we need the categories ahead of time, don't we?
Yeah, I'll go through all the genders from last year.
Yeah, that.
Find what we used.
Yeah, it was best book, and I remember.
I know the fans are waiting for it.
Cool. I had literally forgotten about it.
We both had best employee in it as well. Okay. See who gets it.
Cool, right. Nothing else, guys?
Nope.
No,
mate. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers.
Peace.